Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a reported SEC investigation of Tesla in regards to Tesla Solar. Also got a report from New York Times on the development history of full self-driving after they've spoken with some former Tesla employees. We'll talk a bit about FSD Beta 10.6 as well after I posted my video on my first drive on that yesterday. Then we've got a bit of news on Tesla's Giga Berlin. There's been some conflicting reporting there on maybe another potential delay. And we've also got news on Rivian and Lucid and a couple other things as well. Quick look at the stock, which I'll expand on here in a second, but Tesla today finishing down 0.6% to $1,009.01. The Nasdaq did rise throughout the day, so Tesla followed that back up a little bit after a tougher morning. For its part, the Nasdaq ended up almost 1%. All right, before we get into the Tesla-specific news, I do want to make one quick correction in regards to a story we covered last week, which was about a potential Ford F-150 Lightning delay for first deliveries into September. Ford's Director of EV Communications, Emma Berg, did comment on this on Friday, saying that, quote, "There is no delay to delivery timing of the F-150 Lightning. Customer deliveries are on track to start in spring 2022, end quote. So wanted to make sure to correct that right off the bat, and good for Ford there. Okay, so getting into Tesla, probably the most attention today revolving around a report that the SEC is investigating Tesla in regards to Tesla Solar. We'll talk about that in one second. I do want to wrap up with a couple of stock-related things first. Obviously, that SEC report probably weighing on the stock today. But we did also have a price target increase for Tesla from RBC today, up from $800 previously, now to $950 per share, as a result of increasing their delivery forecast for 2023 through 2025. They, for the first time, have added whatever we're going to call the Model 2 to their delivery forecast, starting in 2024, but really in volume in 2025. The other thing on the stock is that, of course, we'll wait and see if there are any more Form 4s tonight, but we didn't get any new ones from Friday. So just the one pre-scheduled exercise and stock sale last week from Elon. And I know as we head into this week, we're now at December 6th. Obviously, a lot of anticipation for December 9th and if something is going to happen on that day. I remain pretty lukewarm on that topic. Some of the speculation has been that maybe that's the date Elon would be done selling. I don't think that's likely to be the case. As we talked about, Elon needs to sell somewhere between 7 and 15 million more shares. And so far, he's been selling 1 to 2 million a week. So that would be a lot for him to sell in 4 days. I think that's pretty unlikely. Even the first week when he had the unscheduled sales, that was only about 6 million in total, and he seems to have stopped, at least for the time being, the unscheduled selling. So whatever 12.9 ends up being, if anything, I don't think it's the end of him selling. Last quick note then before we get into the SEC stuff, Elon Musk is scheduled to participate in the Wall Street Journal's CEO Council. So he's scheduled for a 30-minute interview tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:30 a.m. UTC. That should be just shortly after this episode comes out, so not the best timing, but we'll certainly cover any takeaways from that tomorrow. As for what this interview is going to be about, the description here says, quote, "Tesla has redefined the market for electric vehicles while SpaceX is looking to transform the economics of space transportation. What lies ahead for Elon Musk's tech empire? Can the U.S. continue to lead the world in innovation against the challenge of Chinese competition? What needs to change to achieve this? And should government be more involved in fostering innovation?" End quote. So sounds like an interesting prompt there. Not sure how the Wall Street Journal is planning on publishing this, but if I do track down a link for it, I'll add that to the description today. All right, so getting into this SEC investigation, Reuters this morning reporting on this, saying that this is in result of a whistleblower complaint from a former Tesla employee alleging that Tesla had failed to properly notify its shareholders and the public of fire risks over alleged defects in Tesla's solar panel systems over many years. Now, it's important to note that this complaint was actually filed back in 2019. The reason this is being reported on right now is because the former Tesla employee who had filed the complaint had asked the SEC for an update on this via the Freedom of Information Act. The SEC declined to provide the requested records, but did say, quote, "We have confirmed with the Division of Enforcement staff that the investigation from which you seek records is still active and ongoing," end quote. Reuters reports that they have confirmed the legitimacy of the letter making that statement. So again, the initial complaint was from back in 2019 that alleged that Tesla did not disclose, quote, "its liability and exposure to property damage, risk of injury of users, fire, etc., to shareholders," end quote. And then the response from the SEC confirming an ongoing investigation, that was from September 24th. So what is news here is really just our knowledge of this situation. For longtime listeners, you may remember that we discussed Tesla Solar in depth back in 2019 as a result of a series of fires occurring at Walmarts that had Tesla Solar installed. The gist of that situation is that Walmart had about 250 stores with Tesla Solar installed, and over the course of 2 months, three fires broke out from those solar systems, and that was in addition to four previous fires that had broken out over a longer time period, so seven in total at the time of coverage. Walmart and Tesla de-energized those systems. Walmart sued Tesla. Tesla had stated their case that Walmart hadn't allowed them to facilitate some of the work that they needed to do to ensure these systems' safety. And a couple months later, the companies came to a settlement agreement and ended up re-energizing the systems, saying in a joint statement, quote, Walmart and Tesla are pleased to have resolved the issues raised by Walmart concerning the Tesla solar installations at Walmart stores. Safety is a top priority for each company, and with the concerns being addressed, we both look forward to a safe re-energization of our sustainable energy systems, end quote. So my best guess is that this whistleblower situation would be very similar to the details that we had discussed around that lawsuit. There were reports around that time that Tesla had established something called Project Titan to basically fix issues with solar systems. So this person probably just feeling like all that was not publicly disclosed when it should have been. Not being a lawyer, I don't know that I can add really anything more to that, but if you're curious on just sort of what was going on with this Walmart situation, as I said, covered it in immense detail in 3 episodes back in 2019, which I'll link to in the descriptions, but if you just want to look it up, it's the August 22nd, August 23rd, and November 5th episodes that year. Timestamps of 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and 4 minutes and 30 seconds respectively on those. Last thing that I would say here is that if the SEC does find Tesla did something wrong here, Tesla could challenge that in court, just like they did when Elon Musk and the Tesla board faced penalties in regards to the going private saga. And just like in that case, there could eventually end up being a settlement. I wouldn't assume that this is a huge risk because Tesla Solar is a very small part of Tesla's business. And as usual with cases like this, I think it's kind of tough to make a case that shareholders have been misled given that the shares have increased very, very significantly since 2019. I think pretty obviously the financial liability for Tesla for something like this would be relatively low. I mean, we saw Elon and Tesla settle for $20 million each in that going private scenario. I think the only real risk I would see would be some sort of governance mandate like we had in that case where Elon had to give up his chairman of the board seat. To be clear, not at all saying that I think something like that is at all likely, just saying if something were to materialize here, what that liability could be. Overall, though, my personal assessment is viewing the entirety of this as really not that big of a risk. I will say, though, the timing of this definitely gives a little bit of a new perspective on the release of the cyber whistle and Elon's tweets in accordance with the release of the cyber whistle saying, quote, blow the whistle on Tesla, end quote. So I don't know, maybe a bit of a jab at this situation. All right, next up, we're going to talk about a report from the New York Times, also receiving quite a bit of attention today, on Tesla's autopilot and full self-driving development. This piece is presented as sort of an expose on that history and some of the internal dissent on which paths to take after the New York Times had spoken with some former employees. Now, I think this is pretty carefully crafted to make it look like there's quite a bit of disagreement in terms of that development history, and I think that there probably was. It would be very surprising if there were not, but I think the New York Times here kind of tries to amplify that. Here's one example when they talk about who they spoke with. They say, quote, as the guiding force behind Autopilot, Mr. Musk pushed it in directions other automakers were unwilling to take this kind of technology. Interviews with 19 people who worked on the project over the last decade show. Mr. Musk repeatedly misled buyers about service's abilities, many of those people say, end quote. So basically there, they're saying they talked to 19 former employees and they kind of structure those sentences in a way to suggest that those people disagree with Tesla's path or how Tesla's communicated the service. But in terms of how many of them actually say that, they're very vague. They just say many of these people say, or they're even using vague language there, like saying these interviews show X, Y, or Z without necessarily giving specifics. And even where they're saying that, again, that shouldn't be surprising that Tesla is taking things in directions that others didn't. That's already been apparent forever. But anyway, I digress. Where they did give a specific number, they say that, quote, in addition, some who have long worked on autonomous vehicles for other companies, as well as 7 former members of the Autopilot team, have questioned Tesla's practice of constant modifications to Autopilot and FSD, pushed out to drivers through software updates, saying it can be hazardous because buyers are never quite sure what the system can and cannot do, end quote. All right, so in reality, they were able to find 19 former employees that would even talk to them, and fewer than half of those people even did so much as to question that frequent release strategy. And I would note there that questioning it is also vague. They also report on some questioning of the name Autopilot, saying that some preferred something like Copilot instead. I mean, we've talked about that one ad nauseum. I think Autopilot is very fitting for what Tesla does. FSD much less so, so it's kind of weird that they didn't talk about that. But again, in terms of numbers, the wording here is a little bit confusing, but it looks like only 3 of the 19 questioned the Autopilot name. A lot of the rest of the article is talking about Tesla's decision to remove radar, go to vision only. They note some disagreement on that, which again, I think very unsurprising, and they even say, quote, over time, the company and the team moved closer to his way of thinking, placing more emphasis on camera technology, these people said, end quote. His way of thinking there being Elon's. So through all that so far, really nothing that I would find newsworthy. One thing that maybe is that he reports on the FSD demonstration video that Tesla made a few years back, writing, quote, "The route taken by the car had been charted ahead of time by software that created a three-dimensional digital map, a feature unavailable to drivers using the commercial version of Autopilot, according to two former members of the Autopilot team. At one point during the filming of the video, the car hit a roadside barrier on Tesla property while using Autopilot and had to be repaired. Three people who worked on the video set," end quote. So, maybe not the greatest, but I think everyone at the time understood that that was a demonstration of what Tesla felt like was possible. It's pretty obviously a cherry-picked example to demonstrate that. I mean, that's oftentimes the purpose of a demo. Plus, we kind of knew that from the autonomous vehicle testing reports required in California, which that year that Tesla made that video was the only year that they've reported on that. And I don't remember specifically, but I think they had like 40 miles driven or something like that. And I think most of us at the time assumed that that was Tesla filming for this video. So if that's the worst thing they can find after speaking with 19 former employees, I would say that that really isn't too bad. And it's very clear they're trying to emphasize the negative things here. One clear example of the bias in this writing, they talk about the quote-unquote recall that Tesla had on the FSD beta by saying, quote, "In early November, Tesla recalled nearly 12,000 vehicles that were part of the beta test of new FSD features after deploying a software update that the company said might cause crashes because of unexpected activation of the car's emergency braking system," end quote. Now, they know as well as we do that, yes, even though that was technically a recall, it was resolved in a day with an over-the-air software update. How very surprising that they chose to omit that detail. Anyway, in other beta-related news, we did get FSD Beta 10.6 yesterday. As many of you have seen, I did do my first drive video. Just an update on that I wanted to provide. I didn't end up being locked out for very long. The availability did come back without having to seemingly do anything else. Some commenters said that maybe just changing the navigation destination would have fixed it. So if that does happen to you, you can give that a shot. And then I didn't get a strike, thankfully, towards losing beta. So it must have just been a lockout due to the conditions, which I'm totally fine with that. But I do think that Tesla should put some sort of an indicator of why something is locked out, since with 10.5 and 10.6, the eye tracking has been much more aggressive in terms of both warnings and strikeouts, which has a lot of people, I think, a little bit nervous. So that's what I suspected, but it would have been nice to have confirmation that it wasn't due to that on the spot. And Tesla does already have a warning message for FSD being unavailable due to poor weather. Obviously, that didn't show up for me, though, so it must not be programmed for that situation that I was in. So hopefully Tesla can get that added. Obviously, not a huge deal, but would be nice. All right, next up, we've got a couple of reports on Giga Berlin. The first one is in regards to a water pumping permit that is being challenged in court by environmental groups. RBB24 reporting today that a court date that was scheduled for this week has been postponed indefinitely. And they say that, quote, "Observers assume that the Tesla production start plan for this month will no longer be sustainable due to this delay," end quote. Teslarati also put an article out on this today with RBB24 as the source, but I think they deleted that. Either way, that assumption by RBB24 or the observers that they cite here doesn't necessarily seem to be accurate from the feedback that I've been reading online from those that have followed Giga Berlin closely, from Gigafactory 4 on Twitter and Tobias Lind. Based on what I've read from them and a couple others, my understanding is that basically the current status of this water pumping situation is that the water that Tesla needs is currently approved, and this court hearing would just be a challenge to that approval. So any challenging of that approval shouldn't delay anything on Tesla's end because the current status works for them. So this would only then cause a delay if there were some temporary hold granted by the court. Otherwise, really shouldn't impact anything with the start, but obviously then could come back around later on, depending on a court decision. So hopefully that understanding is correct, but I'll keep an eye out for any more information on that. The other quick note relevant to Giga Berlin, it has been reported that Rock Tech Lithium is going to be building a lithium production facility really close to Giga Berlin there. They're investing about 500 million euros and plan to produce enough lithium to supply about 500,000 EVs per year. All right, next up here, we've got a couple of updates on charging. First on superchargers, Electrek is reporting via another publication that Tesla is starting to have some conversations about expanding the Open Supercharging Network pilot project. We know, of course, that they started this with about 10 stations in the Netherlands, and it's now been reported that one of Tesla's managers has sent a letter to Norway's Ministry of Transportation saying, quote, "We are now investigating other markets for potential expansion of the pilot project. We would therefore very much like to meet you to tell you more about our plans," end quote. So no big surprise there, but does look like Tesla is continuing down that path of opening up supercharger network. The other small charging update is for the Megacharger. Remember, Tesla is apparently building one of these in Modesto for PepsiCo. We talked last week about how that permit had been issued, and Drive Tesla Canada today now reporting that the inspection for that permit has also been completed, so it looks like construction could be starting at any time. All right, last couple of quick things for today. You may have seen that Rivian stock was way up, Lucid stock was way down. On Rivian, the 25-day quiet period after the IPO is now over. So a lot of brokerages today coming out with their price targets on Rivian stock. 12 analysts in total, 8 of which have actually come out with buy ratings and the other 4 at hold. So relatively bullish consensus, and the average price target Barron's is saying here is $132 per share across these 12 analysts. Interestingly, Piper Sandler has picked up coverage, so Alex Potter, who we just spoke with a couple weeks back, they've got a $148 price target and an overweight rating on Rivian. They're using a 20-year discounted cash flow model to get to that price target, and they're assuming eventually Rivian could get to 11-12% of the US market and 7-8% in Europe. They expect Rivian to eventually hit a 3.5 million annual volume rate. I think a lot of the bullishness here for them stems from the fact that Rivian is a pure play EV manufacturer with a lot of focus on vertical integration. But they obviously note that vehicle production is messy. They say Rivian has no track record. Investors must be ready to endure volatility and dilution. So like we talked about when Rivian IPO'd, my thoughts here, Rivian can grow into its valuation for sure, but I think there is still a ton of execution risk. Diminishing that risk to some extent is access to capital, which is pretty strong for Rivian, especially with analysts supporting this valuation. Anyway, now that Piper Sandler has picked up coverage, we'll have to talk to Potter about that next time we have him on. As for Lucid, their stock was down 5% today, quite a bit more in the morning. That was because Lucid announced on December 3rd that they did receive a subpoena from the SEC requesting certain documents that they say appear to concern the business combination between Churchill Capital and Lucid, and certain projections and statements. They say that, quote, the company is cooperating fully with the SEC in its review, end quote. So we'll see what comes of that, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.